Your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to finish off verse 23 through 11, 10, 23 through 11, verse 1. What Paul's doing here, he's kind of bringing this whole discussion of meats offered to idols to basically to a close. And keep in mind that as you look at Corinthians from chapter 8 through chapter 10, that's been the focus, okay? And what I appreciate as I keep learning as I'm reading through letters of Paul and so forth, Paul does not lay down a bunch of laws and rules when it comes to some moral decisions that in which in the church there could be some sort of opinion. He doesn't lay down rules and laws. Now, he's not talking about immoral areas. I mean, there's God's word speaks when it comes to immorality. But here's an area where you may have a difference of opinion with a Christian brother or a sister. And sometimes we may do that, even some points of theology. And yet you've got to realize there could be some of these gray areas. And I think what's beautiful about this is how he handles it. He doesn't lay down some law. And keep this in mind as well. As you look at the Old Testament, put this down here. There we go. When you understand the basis of morality and ethics, even in the Old Testament, you realize that it centers on a historical reference point. The Ten Commandments anchors in on, I am the Lord God who what? Brought you out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then comes the whole flow of the Old Testament. So it's built, in other words, the morality of the Old Testament is built around the great saving act of God as he delivered his people out of bondage, and because they are now redeemed or rescued from bondage, they understand now they are God's people. They belong to the Lord, therefore, this is how they are to live. Now, when you look at the New Testament, there's a different historical reference point. The historical reference point is when Jesus says, you are to love one another. How? As Christ loved us, as I have loved you. So what's the historical reference point? Calvary. Old Testament revolves around Mount Sinai. The New Testament revolves around Mount Calvary. We then are to respond to the Lord on the basis of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and which comes out of gratitude. So when you take that understanding, we don't go back to the Old Testament and say, well, do and don't, do and don't. No, because, brought you out of the land of Egypt. No, we look at what we do and don't because of a new relationship, a response of gratitude to God for Jesus Christ, what he did for us on the cross. So what we do and don't do is because of our love for the Lord and because of who we are. Because now you are a new person in Christ. That's why I keep saying, you always remember your name. Always remember your name. Your name is Christian. That's who you are. So Paul kind of reinforces this whole concept as to what you should do. So here now you have a difference of opinion between a brother or a sister regarding, is it okay for me to have a glass of wine? Or is it okay for me to go, I play a few slot machines and this kind of a thing. And I mean, all right, so some of us could say, oh, don't you dare do that. I mean, it's horrible, And on the other side, hey, listen, I'm just having a little bit of fun, And gosh, I have a glass of wine once in a while. Is there something wrong with it? Well, Paul doesn't lay down, the Bible doesn't lay down law and rule. I mean, it says, who are you? Do you know your relationship with your brother or your sister? Is this very offensive to them? How do you love them? In other words, see, it's getting you to take seriously who you are and who other believers are in Christ. And so you begin to, you let that soak and marinate within your heart, within your own spirit. So that's what's really important here. Now, notice how he concludes in this particular section. We'll pick it up here again. I can see it. Verse 23. Now, let's follow along here. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, well, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of the conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for the conscience sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not yours, for why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble. Whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And I think sometimes there are a lot of us as Christians who like rules. Give me the rules. Tell me exactly how far I can go, and then, you know, there's the rules. And then others of us look at it and say, well, how can we bend those rules a little bit so I can, you know, stretch a little further over here, you know? And we play these games, and Paul is saying, no, I'm sorry, that's not the way it is. You've got to know who you are. You've got to have, you have a relationship with the Lord, and your moral, ethical, relational decisions come out of that new understanding of a new nature, of a new person, because you have a new life, see? And that's kind of the heart of it. This is where it ends up. So let's just kind of walk through this passage, because it's a refreshing passage, but sometimes we can struggle with it. Let me see how well we do here. This is section 3. I hope you all have a study guide. If not, raise your hand. I'm sure Daryl doesn't have any either. Oh, my word. Boy, they're sold out, huh? All right. Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. Look at your neighbors. Don't read his answer. It's probably wrong anyway. Anyway, here we go. Oh, did I say something? I'm sorry about
that. The answer's on the overhead.
Oh, the answer's on the overhead. Very good. Okay.
Now, Steve, that was your outside voice.
Oh, that came from somewhere. Yes, yeah, right. Okay. No, here, just let me read what I have here. So I said, but Paul's central message in this passage, and the Bible's central message for believers in all ages, is summarized in verse 31. God created man to glorify himself, and that is man's purpose in life. In this section, Paul explains what believers must understand about their Christian freedom if they are to glorify God in everything they do. And keep that as a, you know, that little voice that helps, you know, steer you in the right direction. Am what I doing, or am my choices Are they glorifying God? Do they glorify God? And does it show, say, love for my fellow believer? No. So first, search out verses 23-30 and see if you can come up four basic principles to guide us in using our Christian liberty for God's glory. And now, 23-30, I've read through this already. Now, can some of you, let's see, give me some ideas here. Verse 23, what would you see as a principle there? Someone take a stab at that. What's a good principle? Fred?
This is a verse that just speaks with me so long because it says so much that everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial.
Okay.
And not everything is constructive.
All right.
There's two words, beneficial and constructive.
Okay.
So if they don't benefit the kingdom of God, it doesn't bring forth the glory of God.
Okay.
And if we don't do things that are beneficial to others,
right.
Those two things.
All right.
Glorify God, serve others.
Okay.
Those two things, then we would have something very important.
Very good.
To go by.
Someone else. Some of the thoughts here. Go ahead, please, Jeff.
Limitations of.
All right.
Areas and limitations of the liberty of things not.
Okay. In other words, you have freedom. Freedom is yours. In Christ, you have freedom. Now, how do you use that freedom? See, this is what is so interesting. Think about what's happening in our nation today. You know, everybody's advocating their freedom, and they're demanding their rights. Okay? I demand my rights, and I have a right for this or that. And I, frankly, I don't care about anybody else, as long as I get my rights. And what the Scripture is saying to us, man, if you got freedom, Christ has set you free. But walk responsibly. Freedom is not license. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, because that freedom could hurt a weaker Christian that's not doesn't have their foundation built on Christ. So that when they see, even at the workplace or wherever you're at, if they see you as the Christian in the office place, and then kind of lead down this road, you're critical, and they say, see, you're just another Christian.
Exactly right.
Christian name really is the example of Christ wherever you're at.
Other thoughts? It's good. Go ahead.
Just a summary of verse 23. Will build me up or tear me down?
Very good. Not just me, but other people too. Does it build up or does it tear down? Right? Am I a stepping stone or a stumbling block? I mean, it's good to think about. But
promotes you to know more about your brother and sister. To know their weaknesses.
Okay.
Be concerned about to have that personal knowledge, right. Or go to the trouble to find out something.
Not just focusing on yourself, but you're being conscious of other people. I say, Howard.
Sometimes we have to restrict our freedoms if it will benefit the other.
Okay.
Now, we may not insist on our freedom to benefit.
But how far do you push something like this? I mean, is it possible there can be times where, you know, you look at it and you say, man, I mean, I can't be aware of all these other things. And frankly, I feel like I'm being dominated by other people. Brad's got the answer.
Well, I'm not sure I have the answer, but I have a thought.
That's a very safe answer.
I think when I think about freedom, I think we're caged birds under the punishment of sin and death. It opens the door of the cage, but yet I still want to fly out.
Yes.
Because we're afraid of what do I do and what do I think. So I'm kind of staying caged. We're more passive listeners of the word.
Yeah.
And so love to hear it, but we don't want to act on it. And James warns us about that. And I think it comes down to the fact that we need to be, when we have that newfound freedom, it's freedom to represent Christ.
Yes.
Freedom to know God, make Him known, and to enjoy God.
Yes.
If you don't understand that freedom, the freedom comes through reading the Word and the truth about who God is. It's not about just saying, okay, now I can do whatever I want. And so, as we immerse ourselves in the Word and the truth, which God put on my heart a long time ago, then I realize, oh Lord, I'm free to honor and glorify you, just like Paul says later on, in everything I do, but I have to take the initiative. I have to be an active participant, even though you set me apart. I can't just sit back and go, I don't want to leave age. I'm a little nervous to mention Jesus. To a lot of us are stuck in the cage.
Very good. Andy?
Yeah, you know, the way I look at this, and I don't have the answer either, but the way I look at it in life is, you know, to ask myself, what kind of legacy am I building for my children, my family, and for my community.
Very good.
And that question will often, then you can evaluate what you're doing at any time. So for example, let's take money for example. Money is neither good nor evil, but it's the love of money that is the inherent evil behind that force.
Right.
So do you use money to move the kingdom? Or do you use money to covet and to hoard?
Very good.
Alcohol. Do you use alcohol to wine and dine with your friends to build fellowship? Or do you drink it in excess to kill yourself?
Right.
Okay. Video games. Not inherently bad or good. But do you idolize this thing so that you numb your brain, so that you don't have to worry about everything else in life?
Right.
So that you're not able to build a legacy.
That's right.
So when you idolize these things, your freedom to do whatever you want. But if you idolize these things too much, you have no time to build any legacy.
Very good.
And you just not God honored.
Excellent. Jeff?
An interesting distinction here between freedom and, like Brad was saying, being in a cage. And everybody is one of the things about freedom is you choose what you're going to be a slave to.
Yes.
We all have the choice. Everyone makes those choices based on their life experience, where they're born, raised. So many things have come into play with that. So I think Paul is just trying to, kind of like what you're saying, not to judge. God wants us to understand that we're all ultimately free to choose. Now we have to just choose wisely, and and by choosing a path that's fruitful, others will see that and now fall suit.
James, I got it right. Go ahead.
I don't have an answer to your question.
Oh man!
I want an answer because I struggle with it a lot.
Sure.
At what point do I restrict myself so much in ensuring that I'm considering the other person? At what point does that become me just getting walked on?
And that's the thing that, you know, what we have to learn. We have to learn, you know, to see where the balance is. From my perspective, you're always going to keep it in tension, and there's no magic little formula for this, because my understanding of my own life, what I've tried to do is keep in mind the other person. So at least that's my first thought. My first thought is not my rights, what I want. I want to be able to see people through the eyes of Jesus and realize, you know, there's some real concerns here. Am I hearing what they're saying? Or am I more concerned that I can get my point across and I'll do it my way? So I think, for me anyway, the first thing is I have to learn to listen and hear where that person is coming from. And if it's legitimate, hey, I really want to be sensitive here. Or if I find it's a power play, I think then I will be more resistant. Go ahead. Rick, go ahead.
I think one thing you kind of left out, over the last 6 to 8 months, I realized knowledge, you know, experience were great. Sometimes the Holy Spirit takes those two and goes, no, I want you to do this. Mm. And you look back and you go, but I'm now at that age where I've learned enough things, and learned that also from my father over the last 4 months before he died. The one thing he told me was his experience, his knowledge, his love of God's word did a lot. But he realized at times he went with his knowledge and his wisdom and didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, and he saw that he should have gone the other way.
Okay.
And even though everything said no.
Okay.
He said sometimes the Holy Spirit says no. Could you spend time with me and pray? Right. You need to go this way, and it's going to be
right. And sometimes you will do that a few times to. That's an experience now. I'm learning something from all of this. Okay, I got one more
sometimes
here. I'm going to go on.
Tendency to push the envelope too much.
Okay.
To the edge.
Yes.
Get away with it.
Yeah.
What happens if it happens and we're successful in a bad way?
Right.
Then we keep doing it. We keep doing it.
I know. That's why troubles, trials, and tribulations have to come our way.
Right.
I know that. But it's a challenge, you know. But anyway, what I try to get you to look at, search out some principles to guide you in using Christian liberty for God's glory. That first one, which we've discussed, I think we need to be thinking about spiritual growth is more beneficial than gratification. Okay, keep in mind. I think spiritual growth is more important than gratification. And then there's a second one. I think if you look at verse 24, he goes on and he says, nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. And I think there's a good principle there. It says that our primary concern should be others, not just ourselves. And that's a tough nut to crack because we figure, hey, God helps those who help themselves, right? Isn't that in the Bible someplace? And we're so tuned in. Man, if I don't look out for number one, nobody else will. And those are the little, fleshly thoughts that really hammer at us, and we come to believe it. That needs to be challenged. And the other one here is it's verses 25 to 27. You look at this and it says, eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's 27. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising question of conscience. I put that as liberty. Hey, we have liberty rather than legalism. Liberty rather than legalism helps you to help others to grow in liberty. I think that's important. He says, hey, if you got a good chunk of good beef over here, and go at it. That's a nice piece of meat because those idols aren't real anyway. So, but if it doesn't, if no one raises the question of conscience, like sort of saying, well, are you sure you're going to eat that? Or don't you know that was offered to an idol? And here again, and I just use alcohol or even playing a slot machine. I mean, if you're in drive through Las Vegas or here, whatever, and you plunk a quarter here and there. I mean, if someone says, why are you doing that? And then my response would be,
the jackpot.
Does that, yeah, I'm looking for that $1 million jackpot. Why do you ask? So the question should be then, does this offend you? Does this offend you? And you might raise a great question. It's been really, really interesting. Scott's dad, Greg Treadway. He used to play a rock and roll band. I mean, that guy talked about drums. That's why Scott's so good at drums too. But it was quite a time there that he could not be around certain things and even maybe drums and stuff. And it was really quite offensive to him. And so I think that was something you really wanted to be sensitive toward. And like alcohol, he said, precious, Al McLean, part of our church, and recovering alcohol, the whole thing, and man, how many people he's helped, it just blows me away. But, as far as any alcohol is concerned, man, you just don't, with Al, you would not invite him to your house and say, hey, Al, here's a glass of wine. You just wouldn't do it. But that doesn't mean you can't have a glass of wine, right? And don't come back to, well, I'm proving the Bible. I'll tell you that, wine of the devil. Well, yeah, it's of the devil, like money. Money's of the devil then too, But how do you use it? How do you deal with it? How does it dominate you? I saw a hand over here. Go ahead, John.
Coming from a Catholic background, my sister and I still attend a lot of Catholic masses for, whether for funerals
family
or weddings or whatever. And one of the things we get a lot of criticism about that because we're born again is that they have a mass and then they have communion. And I'm fine with communion up until the priest says this is the actual body and blood of Christ. As soon as he says that, my conscience, my sister's conscience,
right,
gets troubled and,
right,
and we don't participate,
right,
because we feel we're acknowledging what,
right,
the priest is saying about it being the,
sure,
actual body and blood, transmorphication,
right,
and all that stuff. I think this verse speaks to that very well, but I don't know how to respond to people. I tell them what I just told
sure.
you here, but I don't. They don't get it. Is there another way I can help them to understand them?
They what are they saying? Do they disappoint that you?
They say, don't you receive communion at your church? And I say, yeah, but we don't call it the body and blood of Christ. And they go, well, if you're receiving communion there, it's the same thing here. And I say,
only thing I would add to that, I would say, but your priest actually is saying that is being changed. You know, your doctrine talks about transubstantiation. That's the thing that I would bring out, and I would say, you know, I'm having a hard time with that. Now, for another person, you know, he may sit there and he say, well, I sure know that. Sure, isn't going to be, I'm not going to be chewing on Jesus' flesh. So I know that's some, you know, some doctrine that, you know, some man made up, and I don't believe that. But I'm communing with the Lord. Well, then you say that person, then that's entirely, you know, your choice. But If I'm a very, you know, straight Christian, maybe, you know, I'm having a hard time with this, then I would do as you do, and I would say, you know, that's not something I really would want to do. One more here. Yes, go ahead.
When you spoke about Al, it reminded me that the other side of the page is that he wouldn't chastise you if it happened to sit down
right.
and had a class on.
That's his maturity.
Yes.
See, that's his maturity. That's what you've got to be sensitive to. Where's the person's maturity? Okay, I'm running gas.
Isn't there the principle here that we're all weak in some areas?
Yes, we all are. That's right.
And that we need just be right. sensitive in areas that that you're weak in.
That's right.
You know, you're a pastor, but you're still
yes.
weak.
Yes. Exactly.
And I need to be sensitive to
exactly. So the love for Jesus, to glorify God, and the love for my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that needs to stir within me, the choices that I make. And there's always going to be, James, there's always going to be those tense areas where you have to think through what's going on. Is this being a power play by the other person to try to dominate you, to be legalistic? See, then I would push back.
Thank you.
Then I would push back. But if, you know, if it's really, you see this, here's a person that's struggling with some area, then, you know, you want to be far more sensitive. So you look at these, and then the next one here, 28 to 30, would be another principle. 28 to 30 says, 28, but if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you, for conscience sake, the other man's conscience. I mean, not yours, for why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? That's the question here that I'm talking about. If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So he's kind of throwing the ball back, you know, saying, look, everybody's got to have a good sense of what's going on. Grow. The challenge is to grow in your understanding of what God's Word says. Grow in your relationship with others. And don't just say, well, I've my rights. Okay, yeah, you've got rights. Praise God, you got rights. But be sensitive. So here's the four things I put down. I says 23, I said, spiritual growth is more beneficial than gratification. And I said the primary concern should be for others rather than just self. That's where the starting point's got to be. Liberty rather than legalism. That's the third one that helps others grow in the liberty. And the last one then is the legalism of others should not make us legalistic, but gracious. Our brother is more important than just our rights, but at the same time, we don't fall back into legalism. Don't let them shove you back into legalism. So, you see, it's kind of a, again, we love some rules. We love to see it exactly how it ought to be. And then just look at this last question here. It says, what does it mean to bring glory to God? How do we glorify God? By seeking the good of others. Well, you know, I keep thinking, how do you glorify God? Well, I think you glorify. Well, let me ask you, how do you sense glorifying God?
By living the way He wants you to live.
Okay.
And being a demonstration to those around you.
Okay. All right.
Christ-like.
Yes. Now, with that thought, it's keep this in mind. I think it's very important. It's not you trying to be like Jesus. It's your understanding. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. So when you are reflecting more and more the character of God, God is glorified. Not because you are doing this, it's because Christ is in you, living His life.
Like I said, if I look at the fruit of the Spirit, I look at that as the result of the Spirit.
Very good. Exactly.
The Spirit free reign in my life.
Like yes. Right. More and more. And the beautiful thing is, you know, it's not your life that's being glorified. You're reflecting more and more. In fact, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know? And you know that's my prayer. Well, you know, I'm very honored with this Boy Scout recognition and so forth. And you know, I'm humbled by it. But all I'm praying for is that God is glorified, not me, because I know it's been His work in my life, through my life, and all I can say is thank you, amazing grace. Amazing grace.
And you said it is not to be presumptuous.
No.
To say that the Lord dwells in.
Right. It's not being presumptuous at all, because that's what He says. He will do that. And again, you know, it's not me. You know, how wonderful it is to know that God's presence is in you, and people begin to see that there's a reality there. God is glorified. Okay. Yeah. So much for that. So, application, stepping stones or stumbling blocks. These are the two options that are before us as we live our Christian walk. It's all a matter of perspective. Where is my focus? Do we focus on my rights, or are we willing to say, Lord Jesus, live your life through me? Amen. To me, that's really the bottom line. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you. We just appreciate so much these valuable times of talking, sharing, and reflecting, and learning. And Lord, even as we go through our life, our life's journey, we realize there's so much to learn and experience. Your word is the truth that transforms, and yet, Lord, we realize it's life with its troubles, trials, and opportunities and obstacles, Lord, that we really we put these principles to reality, and we grow in that process. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these men, and thank you for the things that we continue to discover together. Go with us now into this week, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are you going to bring next week?
Lots of food.